KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Last hour of the show. 60 minutes on the clock. We'll take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. If you missed anything in the first couple hours, you missed the preview of the Blitz, in which we told you that today's guest hosts are going to be Holly and Cody, along with Freddie. We also let you know that if you go to ESPN975.com, the website, at the top of the page, you can click on the show title for The Usual Suspects. And with that, all you really have to do is click on that and catch up on all the hours that you missed. And in the process, while you're there, you might as well download the app, and then you can take us anywhere, everywhere, never miss anything again on one of the shows. Also, was talking a little bit about a basketball. I don't know if you guys saw this story. But interesting to me, because if he really truly did this, kudos to him. But Kawhi Leonard has filed a lawsuit against Nike in U.S. District Court in an attempt to reclaim control over the logo that he says he created. If you see Kawhi doing any interviews anywhere, he always has what they call the claw logo. And because everybody knows that the famous trait that he has is these massive hands. As the story goes, he was I guess it wasn't even in college. He traced his hand and turned the hand into a K and an L for his initials, and then somehow worked in his number 2 as well. And that's what's on almost everything that he wears whenever he's doing press conferences, etc. He said he then turned it over to Nike so that they could use it periodically here and there as well. Now they went to court and said that they had his permission.
Like they own it?
And got the patent to own the logo. Mm. And so now they're sending cease and desists to him. He has a new contract with New Balance. And wherever the logo's been, they're like, you can't do that anymore because we have it. And he's like, I never gave up and relinquished rights to that. It could get messy.
Yeah, I could see it getting messy. I wonder if it was one of those things where his uncle did something, or there was something in the paperwork where his legal team didn't protect him. And Nike's legal team is very
savvy.
Smart. They're not just gonna steal something and just no, bro, you promised. That's not Nike. They have way more money and sense than most people do.
So essentially, as the story goes, it was in 2011. He created the logo. He traced his hand. He worked in the K, the L, and the 2. And the drawing that he authored was an extension and continuation of drawings he had been creating since his early college career to represent him. Several years later, when he signed his deal with Nike, he allowed Nike on certain merchandise to use that logo that he created, while Leonard continued to use the logo on non-Nike goods. Unbeknownst to Leonard and without his consent, Nike, and here's where you get what you're talking about, the smart lawyers filed an application for a copyright registration of his logo, because I'm sure they researched it and found out he hadn't done so. And the next thing you know, they filed the copyright and then falsely represented in the application that they had authored the logo themselves, not Kawhi.
Wow. So they did lie and man.
So it's all good in the neighborhood as long as he's a brand Jordan under the Nike umbrella guy.
Yeah.
But when they couldn't come to that deal, and you know that's where the uncle comes in, because he was looking for that big time kind of LeBron, Steph Curry type deal for Kawhi, and that's why he thought San Antonio was too small of a market, because he had to get that deal. Well, they ended up just going their own separate ways. He signs a massive deal with New Balance, who's going to come back into the basketball world with a new basketball. He's going to be their signature guy. And as part of it, you know Kawhi wants to put that claw logo on things.
Yep.
And Nike starts now sending cease and desists going, not so fast. We control that.
Maybe I'm just too gullible, because I would be like, oh, there's no way Nike would do that. Well, apparently they would.
No doubt about it. Now, the thing
is, did you see these New Balance, by the way? Kawhi's New Balance?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
No?
Mm-mm. They're better than what they've been, but as long as they're still basing everything on the capital N somewhere on the shoe,
you don't like
it's
that?
Just a very, very plain look.
I mean, they're trying. It's not awful.
Under Armour got started too.
$700
What?
Why is these New Balance Kawhis $700 These blue ones.
I hope they're signed
on StockX.
Oh, on StockX.
Limited color.
That's probably colorway. Yeah. Wow.
Because
ain't that is it similar to that?
Let me send you the link. I don't understand.
Is it similar
how
to that one?
I can't.
The, like the gold and. It's got like a little strap
on
the back
is.
Or something.
The
like
bottom
that.
Of it is similar, and it has a strap as well. Yes,
I mean,
it does.
They're not that.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But here's the question I have.
I'm not paying $700
right?
for those.
Can Nike use it? Can Nike still put it out on shirts and merchandise? I mean, because you control the logo, but you don't have the rights to the player who's not signed with you anymore.
I feel like you could use it on stuff that, like, okay, if Kawhi had a signature shoe, then you could put it on his signature shoes.
That's what I'm saying.
At the time. But once he transfers, if he's taking the logo with him, if you re-release a signature shoe, if it's a new design, I don't feel like you could add the logo to it. I feel like that would be...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert in, like, intellectual property, but, like, all I know is there is a certain... I've been told before there's a certain extent of, like, moral responsibility, too. So even though something may not necessarily be documented, if it's pretty obvious and beyond reasonable doubt that he is the guy who really created it, and you can kind of show that in court, perhaps maybe you can get away with him pulling that logo back from Nike without having an agreement in place. But I don't know that. I mean, yeah. I would like to think Nike is not sneaky and shady like that, just give it back. But I don't know the agreement.
Well, apparently not if they went and filed a copyright with it without telling him.
I'd say, one, they want money. Because, two, as long as Kawhi is the New Balance guy, you can't just send out a T-shirt that, you know, says, hey, get your Finals Kawhi T-shirt. Because that's still... Whether it's his logo or not, you're still implying that Kawhi is a Nike guy.
Yeah.
So I would think that's where the... And by the way, this logo, I get the KL, and it's very creative. How
it
the
really
KL
is a creative
is,
logo.
Is the fingers and part of the hand. The two is very tricky because it's the pointer finger, and it's there's a little wrinkled twist in it that's supposed to be a two. Look at it right now on the screen. The pointer finger
what?
Is a two. Yeah,
that's
it's
not
a KL... Two. Well, it's a two with the head of the Marge Simpson.
Barely see the two.
Yeah. It's there, but you really got to stretch for it. But the K and the L you could make out. It's a pretty badass logo. He has it on everything. But it would really suck, too, because the thing is, you knew that this was going to be an issue. Because since he signed with New Balance and he's been wearing the shoes, they've done several campaigns for Kawhi. Not one of them has used that logo or have been centered around the claw, probably for that very reason, until this is rectified. So that doesn't get even messier.
That's wild. I just saw the two.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is
looks
weird.
Like Marge Simpson's hair on the top of a two.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
All right, Manny wants to get in creative. Here on this Kawhi Leonard logo thing. Manny, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? So a couple comments on the Kawhi Leonard logo.
Yeah.
I think he had like a tattoo artist design it, if I'm not mistaken, either back in San Antonio or California. And like that was his logo. Then he did the partnership with Jordan Brand, and Jordan Brand released those, what are they called, the Passing the Torch, Jordan 1s, which had the little logo on the top. And the plan with him and Jordan was to eventually create, like, a line. So Jordan was, like, releasing T-shirts with his logos and stuff like that, like, that were exclusive to San Antonio, and they were still throwing, like, sweat lines and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's happened before. Nike, when James Harden was with Nike too, they kept his logo, so he had to change to that different logo that he has now.
Oh, they did keep it,
but yeah, they did it with with James. They've done it with pretty much every player that they've had. Even I think if I'm not mistaken, I think they did it with Kanye West too, which is why with his Yeezy stuff, it's like YZY rather than YEEZY. So. Nike's really good about that stuff, and I wouldn't be surprised if Uncle Dennis was the one doing paperwork and screwed him over on that, too.
That I'm with you.
Probably so, man.
That I'm with you. But here's the thing. Like, the Harden logo was his signature when he was with Nike.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a logo, per se, where Adidas went and kind of in-depth with James created that JH logo that's now on the tongue of the shoe. In regards to, and again, it's going to, you know, someone's going to have proof, because in the article published by ESPN, the quote from Kawhi's camp is that just after being drafted, Kawhi authored a unique logo, which means he drew it, and it included elements that were meaningful and unique to him, and he traced his noticeably large hand, and then inside the hand, He drew stylized versions of his initials and his number that he's worn much of his career. The drawing and the extension and continuation of drawings has been created since early in his college career and came to fruition in 2011. So from this writing, it sounds like he says he did it all on his own. No tattoo artist, no nothing.
Wow.
Now, I did look.
Does he have other art that he's released?
See, I don't know. I don't know if he's artsy. I don't know if he's artistic. Is that just something that, you know, like some you hear about athletes as they're getting ready to be professionals where they practice their signature and they're doing all this stuff? And obviously.
Practice their signature?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's tons of players over the years have said.
It's your signature. Why do you need to practice? You've been signing stuff all your life.
Let me blow your mind on this one, too. Professional athletes have their checkbook signature, which you will never see. And then they have their autograph, which they do for fans.
What?
James Harden never will do anything other than for an autograph.
Who the hell still has a checkbook?
Well, but I'm just saying, it's called their checkbook signature. Like Chris Bosh, when the Heat won the championship, they did a fake trophy that they carried around during the playoffs, and every guy had to sign the base of it, like, are you in? And he goes, we were all so focused, we all went right to the checkbook signature. We didn't even do our, you know, quick autograph signature. Like, James's signature, if you ever get James to sign anything, is always going to be JH13. That's all you're getting.
Yeah.
Yep. And a lot of guys do that.
Hmm.
But they,
I would not have even thought to have a different signature.
But you also get it, right? Because then sometimes people try to forge documents.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm not going to put it past anybody.
Right?
Yeah. I'd be like, who would try to pass themselves off as Kawhi Leonard? There are weirdos that would do
that. If you're
at
a Starbucks and you're on your computer and someone's looking over your shoulder and they get some of your information and all they need is a signature to finalize something.
People are weird.
Yeah. Too much time on their hands, not enough hobbies to do, but a lot of people are looking to make a buck.
Javier Victoria on Twitter said, Barry, I had some friends try starting a clothing line called Just Kickin' It. And they got emails from Nike lawyers saying to get rid of everything because it resembles Just Do It too much. A year later, they came out with shirts that said Just Kicking It. I'm guessing brutal. Nike did.
Yeah.
Wow. Nike's awful, if that's the case.
Well, just look at what they're getting in cheap labor for making shoes overseas.
Is this the Kawhi?
That's the same logo.
The one?
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice shoe.
That's the old ones, right?
Yeah, that's the Jordan ones. I would rock that. Mm-hmm. Joseph Lopez sent us pics of the Kawhi Jordan ones.
He gave Nike permission to use the logo on certain merchandise. So I would assume that shoe was one of the things.
Right.
But at the same time, obviously they can't believe they still controlled, at the end of the day, the logo and had the right to it.
Right. And by the way, don't Google Kawhi Leonard drawings. It's none of his artwork. It's people drawing Kawhi Leonard. It's none of his artwork.
Yeah, I don't think I need to see that. Yeah. But the other thing that's weird about that is Nike's such a control freak, too. Like, you remember now, after Tiger signed and the Nike golf deals, Nike wouldn't, you know how golfers like to put logos all over the place?
Uh-huh.
If you're a Nike golfer, and if you notice to this day, when you look at Brooks Koepka, Jason, golfers, if you're a Nike brand guy, no other logos anywhere. Not on the hat, not on the shirt,
not on
the clothes.
Do they pay me enough?
Like Rory McIlroy, who used to have a whole bunch of logos, he negotiated and he said exactly that. He goes, well, then you're going to pay me what I'd be making from all these other companies. Yeah. And they were like, you're Rory McIlroy, fine. And I believe Rory got into the market of like $80 million a year from Nike. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, they know what they're doing. They have a very select few guys they sign for endorsements. But once they sign a guy, you know, they're going to take total control.
Demetrius sent in a text real quick. He said, hey, tell Nora we appreciate her for everything she does on this Nurses Appreciation Day.
Oh, there you go.
I had no idea. I'm going to be in trouble now because I didn't wish her a happy Nurse, he says she can get free. I almost said it wrong. Chipotle.
Hey, well done.
I had to pause. She can get. I didn't know that either. I'm gonna be like, hey, go back and get seconds. Like, bring me some. Like, go get it. Yeah. Come out. Go back. Get some more.
Nor you get the Chipotle, and I'll give Chipotle. You the Chipotnanny.
No. Chipotle.
And later we'll get some Chipotnanny.
Yeah.
All right. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I switched about 2 years ago. And I've seen thousands of dollars in savings. P. Randizzle, one of our loyal listeners, he switched a few months ago. He said he's saving a ton of money, and he's passing the word on to the people out there just like I am right now. You need to check out Infuse Energy because they're going to do a great job because they listen to you, the people. When you check them out online, infuseenergy.com, you'll see what they're all about. But if you really want to see how they work, call 844-INFUSE2. 844-463-8732. You're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because their sole goal and focus is to get you the lowest rate and the best deal they possibly can. They want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family or your business? And they go from there. Right off the top, you mentioned you heard it on ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit, and they will continue to work with you and work through it until they find the best deal possible. In most cases, it's going to be with them. In the rare cases that there's someone else out there that can beat their rates, they're going to let you know that as well, because they always want you to know they're 100% honest. They're never going to try and pull the wool over your eyes, and you may not go with them now, but you'll go with them at some point because you know that you can trust them, and that's so important in business. Check them out again, infuseenergy.com or 844-INFUSE2, and see how they can help you. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the third hour of the show. Thanks to you, we always appreciate the suspects taking us along for the ride on ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Tuesday. Tomorrow, no Way Back Wednesday because we are scheduled to be at Wildcat Golf Club all day broadcasting for the occasional invitational ESPN golf tournament, weather permitting, and that is the key. So we've decided, after the great idea by Barry, that we will do a throwback Thursday instead with, of course, theme to be determined.
Yes. Hey, real quick, just rest in peace to Paul Gallant.
You saw that, did you?
Well, I know he didn't die.
Yeah.
But no longer at 6'10".
Surprised me. I had heard rumblings, things were going on. He actually addresses them in an 8.5-minute video that he put online. But I had heard that they were going to shuffle some things up to where he was going to be their main kind of internet,
right,
online content guy. And then he addressed it in the video that all of a sudden one day it was off the table. That wasn't an option anymore. And then the next thing I know, there's a tweet out from him today that says, hey, by the way, today was my last day at Sports Radio 610. I was shocked.
How long before Paul Gallant is here?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I talked to AJ in passing when we had heard what was going on over there. I don't know.
Yeah, that sucks, man. Paul Gallant was a good
great dude.
I mean, I don't know a lot of people outside of the station in this business, but Paul was one of the few guys that reached out to me when we first started this show, mm-hmm, and we talked a little bit. And he's just to me, he's a good dude, and I like what he does on air, and he seems like a genuinely cool dude.
Great
off
guy.
Air.
I've taken him to play hoops several times and hung out with
him. Is he a good basketball player?
No. He's
God bless it, Joel.
I mean, you asked me. You asked me. He's a good defender. He's a good athlete. Basketball skill is a different skill.
He's got good hips and high motor.
No, that's you and a caller on defensive backs. That's not me.
Well, you could have lied. He just got laid off. And you're just out here just ripping and roaring on his basketball skills.
You didn't let me finish. He's still a great dude.
Okay.
He's been at Sports Radio 610 for 8 years.
Yeah.
Started out with his own Gallant at night. And then made his way to the morning show. So you figure that things are going well for him, but they got a new program director recently, and things change. And, you know, this I'll help Paulie any way I can because he's a great dude. And, you know, I think his heart's in the right spot.
Yeah.
And he even said in the video he doesn't know what he's going to do next, except he will continue to do the television show with Granato and your friend Patty Smith.
Why? Why do
you guys developed a relationship previously.
So why?
She's a great girl. Patty's my friend, too.
Well, we're not friends.
Oh, you're not really friends?
She's not. She doesn't. How about this? She doesn't like me, I don't think.
Did you?
I didn't do anything.
Did you get an email from them on the board that suggested who should be nominated for the Hall of Fame this year?
I did not get that
Houston
email.
Hall of Fame?
I did not get that email.
I filled mine out.
Maybe because I unsubscribed.
I sent it back.
I may have asked to be removed from all that.
Maybe. I gave him suggestions. Like,
what would you suggest?
If you're going to go on an Olympic theme, that Carl then you Lewis. Have Carl Lewis, maybe even Simone Biles.
Mary Lou Retton.
Even a Leroy Burrell. I said Mary Lou Retton. Dominique Moceanu. They were Houstonian and several other Olympians.
What about
that were
Bella Houston. Caroli?
That's a little dicey right now, based on what's recent revelations that have come out about him and his wife and the camp and everything like that. Until that's all squared away, I'm not sure that one's a good idea.
No,
no. And then okay. outside of that, throughout names like Warren Moon, Elvin Hayes,
yeah,
Yao. Guys like, get Tracy. So
how long of a list did you send her?
I gave her a couple different options. I thought they needed them.
You thought they needed
them? Yeah.
And you didn't get in trouble?
No, because I themed them. I gave them ideas. I'm not saying you have to do them. And I didn't leave them. And it's like the blitz. I didn't leave at the bottom of the email, and you will be subject to severe criticism if you screw this up.
You didn't
no.
put that?
No, I didn't.
I don't feel like I was severe.
No, but you know what?
It was warranted.
You and I discussed it off air. I was partly to blame because I started suggesting better options that they could have gotten. You went on air and voiced it. I don't know that our friend John helped us out too much because he worked with Patty and made sure he had her on the next day and made a deal of it. But
it happens. Somebody wants to know, what if golf is canceled? Are we going to have a throwback Wednesday?
No, we said we're still going to push it to Thursday.
Yeah. No matter what.
Either way.
Courtney just walked in and said it's like 90% chance it's happening.
The tournament, tournament's happening or the weather's happening?
Does she not read Steven's sports map article?
Apparently, she just got off the phone with them, and it looks like they really want it to happen. Apparently, the course drains very well after it rains, and you can still play on it. There's a 90% chance.
It's going to be raining all day.
Landfill,
by the way.
Yeah.
From waste management. So it's like the hardest ground on the planet.
It drains well.
Maybe they're right. Well, we don't have to worry about it. We're not playing. We'll be inside.
We'll be in the clubhouse the entire time. 90% chance of rain on Wednesday, according to the Weather Channel.
Well, as long as there's no lighting, I don't think the hard stuff's coming down for quite some time. I'm going to play the round of my life.
Have you ever played golf in the rains?
Caddyshack, by the way. Yeah. If there's money on the line, we'll push it. Yeah. We have pushed it in the past, a little bit. But don't mess with lightning.
I've
told you guys this before, but Carroll Dawson, the former general manager and assistant coach of the Rockets, not once, twice. He's been struck by lightning twice on the golf course.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rarity to have someone that's been struck by lightning once, but to say that a guy's been struck by lightning twice, I don't think I'm picking up the sticks and going out, even if there's just a cloud in the sky, going, not doing that
again. What time is the tournament over?
I think they're teeing off around noon or 1, so it's probably not going to be over till like...
Are they teeing off at noon?
Think so.
I thought it was like in the morning.
I don't think. Oh. I think it's more.
Well, put it this way: starting at 4 a.m., 85% chance of rain, and it dips. It's the lowest it gets is 55 at 1 p.m. for the next several hours. So it's gonna be wet
when it's when it dips. You dip. We dip.
Okay.
No. Okay.
I'm not doing that.
I'm trying to see if they had the actual on the original email. I got the emails up, but on the original time.
Somebody says there ever going to be another Rock the Mic contest? No, probably not. That died when Tepper left. Well,
that was a little bit after he left.
Yeah, because they did how many more?
At least one or two, I would imagine. Because Juggalo Trey was a part of one, right?
Yeah, I was here with Tepper, and then I think the next year Tepper was here. That was 2013 when I won. And then they did 2014 was Cam. 2015 was JT Barrett. And then I think 2016 was, what's his name? Craig. And then that was it. So it's been a couple years.
He was kind of the heart and soul of Rock the Mic. Yeah, Craig Koshkin. Okay. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was it. Because when did Dave leave?
Man, I feel like it's at least 3 or 4 years.
Was it 2014 or 2015?
Because he was in Omaha before he went to Denver.
Right. I think he left in 2014 or 2015, maybe.
Yeah, I want to say it's either 14 or 15.
Yeah, so I don't think Rock the Mic would be coming back. I liked it. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't be here without it.
It was a cool thing.
You won it, right?
Yeah, 2013 I won it.
You won it. So screw the fact that there's all these rumors about if you actually wrote, won a camel or an ostrich, but you won that.
That's right.
That's what made you a true
champion. I barely won it. Well, the only reason I won it was because the other guy was acting like a jerk behind my back.
You told us that.
So otherwise, I wouldn't have won it, apparently. Yeah, they should bring that back, though. That's a
Trey would love it.
I like that. Yeah, Holly. We met Holly through Rock the Mic.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. She was a Rock the Mic contestant. My favorite part of Rock the Mic was getting to be the Turk. I got to fire everybody.
Oh.
And so Fred and AJ would let me write whatever mean message I wanted to give them. So after every round, when it would come time to eliminate someone, I got to read a mean message to them. And you know, that warmed my heart. So,
oh, I'm sure you had a field day.
Oh,
with
I
that.
Loved it. I could be a Turk. I enjoyed that.
There'd be other names besides Turk I'd use. But okay. All right, we continue to roll on 30 minutes on the clock. We'll take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. It's Cody, Holly, and Fred today as AJ continues his week off. They'll come up after us, but we'll take you all the way till 4, and we'll have more coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday on the big city. Talked a lot of stuff today.
Very sportsy show.
Astros. Finals. Not really rockety, did we? Yeah, maybe a question or two. Yeah. And other things. So, just letting everybody know about the schedule for the rest of the week. I believe it tee off. It looks, Barry, and I haven't been able to verify, but based on the Facebook page, it says it's scheduled from 11:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. would be. I would think that's the golf portion because they say broadcasting 7 a. to 7 p.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess they're going to tee off around 11:30. I
thought it was somewhere
noon.
In the afternoon.
So yeah, you got to plan for at least five, six hours for a scramble.
For sure.
So. We'll be out there all day. So, again, even if you're not playing in the tournament, they encourage people to come on out, sit in the clubhouse with us, listen to the broadcast, hang out, see all the different friends and family of the station, the shows,
there supporters. Is nothing more exciting and there is nothing more fun than watching two dudes talk on the radio. Nothing in this world.
It now, by the way, tomorrow on the Blitz, did you know who's filling in?
It's not Raheel.
No.
Raheel is Friday,
it's
right?
The Boss and the Gloss.
I heard that. I asked Fred.
Carla and Fred David Gow.
Fred said he was just going to get out of the way.
That's probably a good
smart
idea.
Smart move.
Probably a good idea.
Smart move.
Yeah. Alternative plans should be kiboshed on that one. Yes. Yeah. Let the Boss and the Gloss do their thing. Yeah. I was on their show last night. It was fun. It's
How
easy.
Did it go?
Easy.
It was
fun.
And
yeah, it's always so good with those guys. It's just weird because it's a different clock. That SB Nation clock is different. And the crazy thing is that in the past, David would ask me, say, last question. But he didn't tell me where we were if we were up against it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mid-sentence, and I just hear click. And then I hear Jose get on the phone going, hey, thanks, JB. And I'm like, I was in the middle of an answer. And he's like, oh, you didn't hear the music? I go, no, the caller never hears the music. So you got to let him know. So last night.
It cut you off mid-sentence?
Like on three different occasions. But again, you're dealing with the Boss, so you're not going to bitch about it, right?
Be like, hey, man, who's running this around here?
So he and I, David and I were laughing about it in the hallway today because I was like, you kept throwing more questions at me. And I'm like, nope, you're not going to do it to me this time. And he's like.
How many segments did you do?
We did the long segment. I don't
13
know.
13 minutes?
So about 13 minutes. Okay. And so he was like, hey, we've only got about 2 minutes here. So, and he threw it out. So I answered the question and I tried to, you know, abbreviate it. And he's like, okay, so a quick answer though, but we still got time. What about this? And I'm going, he's not doing it to me this time. And so I was even shorter. Then he threw another one at me. And I was like, oh, come on. He's screwing with me now. But no, I got it in just in time. And then he went to break. And so I saw him today and I said, I thought you were going to cut me off mid-sentence again. He goes, no, but he goes, I didn't know that you didn't know that the music's not playing on your end. And I was like, yeah. And it's really annoying because you're giving an answer and then you're click and you're done.
So this happened So it didn't happen last night that you got
hung
up on.
Not last night. We did the full segment the right way. But it in the past.
Oh, so you have done their show before and got
several
hung up
times.
On.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I just hear them keep going. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm done.
That is too funny, man. Just get cut off.
Yeah, but it was fun. So I did a little Boston.
Well, good. What y'all talk about? Them,
I guess. They had
Rockets
just,
basketball.
They just had all. No, not just Rockets, but the finals, free agency, you know, all different things going on. Lakers. Okay. Gal's a Boston sports fan from back in the day, too. So he had Celtics, Kyrie questions. And,
isn't he a Cowboys fan also?
Uh-huh. Mm. Yep. In his office, he's got Red Sox. He's got Cowboys. He's got...
All of the horrible sports teams to root for.
You know what's weird is I was a
huge... get some hate for that.
Until I got to Houston, I was a Red Sox fan. And then when the Astros moved to the American League, I couldn't be a Red Sox fan anymore.
No?
No, I was just all in on the Stros.
I'm kind of like that. I used to not be like Cubs, Cardinals guy just because of playing in the NL Central.
Right.
Now, I could root for those teams if I had to. Not bad.
I don't think I could Cardinals for sure.
Really?
And really not Cubs either. Yeah, I just, even if I wasn't a Packer fan, I don't Brewers think I could be fan. A Cowboy fan. It's a little over
my,
the top-ish.
My hatred for the Cowboys has really died down as I've matured, as I've gotten older.
So it's not vile anymore? But
I don't know if it's that I've gotten older or if it's just this job, but I don't really hate teams anymore. I hate individual people like LeVar Ball.
I can see that.
Or I'll hate something like that, or Drake, or something involved in sports. But I don't necessarily think I hate teams anymore, like a fan, like normally I would.
Okay.
I don't find myself hating teams.
Because of the fact that even I've heard AJ as well talk about the fact that he is more about rooting for players. I think
now,
that's,
see, I'm not that guy. I root for
because he's a big Steph Curry fan, but he's also a Warriors fan as much as he denies it.
Yeah, I'm with you. He can say he's not all he wants. If AJ wasn't in sports talk, he would be the ultimate bandwagon fan because he would root for whoever's winning.
See, and I don't know him like you do, but I've heard him, especially on the Warriors, because he even said, I'm going to be radio silent on social media, so let me just get my tweets out there now so that people will hammer him if the Warriors aren't doing well and Steph's not doing well because he loves them.
I heard him talking about how he's, you know, now that he does this, he's not a fan. He's not a fan of the jersey. What does he say? He's not a fan of the city on the jersey or whatever. That's part of being a fan.
Yeah,
that's why they're called the Houston Rockets and not the James Hardens, or they're representing the city that you live in or the city that you're from. Or,
oh, like he doesn't like Houston on the jerseys, what you're saying. Or what do you mean?
He's not loyal to a team per se or a city because of a city or any kind of affiliation like that.
No, but
like he's fans of individual players, but his beef is, well, you can't just be loyal because it's the Houston Rockets. Whatever they do, you're loyal.
Why not?
And I agree with that degree, but you can still be a fan of that team. You don't have to be blindly like, well, I guess if they're going to give Carlos Lee $100 million, I'm cool with that. You don't have to be that guy, but you can be critical of your team, but you still are a fan of the team.
I was going to say, yeah, why not? Why can't you be unless they've done something to offend you, like the AT&T Sportsnet before when it was CSN Houston, when they didn't have a TV deal and then people couldn't see the games and they didn't care. Then I could see you being mad at your basketball team and your baseball team.
Right.
Or, you know, if they do something like
I
you
forgot
said,
about that.
Or sign like a mega deal with a player that you thought sucked.
Right.
Then you were pissed. But other than that, you're from Houston, so you want to support the local teams.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm still a fan of I'm still a fan of the Houston sports teams.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't. But you know what? To each of their own. He doesn't like
because he said he was a fan of the championship Rockets teams, but he just can't get behind Harden the way they play. You know, the way he plays and this Rockets team with this bunch of guys. I understand there's a likability factor, but it does really seem like fans these days are more apt to cheer for a player they love than the teams.
I know a lot of people that like are LeBron fans.
Yes.
So they have a Cleveland jersey, two versions. They have a Heat jersey and a Lakers jersey.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, I guess. I just don't understand that because I grew up a fan of I grew up a Houstonian. I was born here, raised here. I grew up a fan of all Houston teams. And just because the Oilers moved to Nashville, I liked Steve McNair and Eddie George because that's who was here sure. at the time, and Jeff Fisher, and I thought that all that was great. But when they moved, they were dead to me because that's Nashville and that's not Houston.
That makes total sense. Again, that's a screw job that will alter your ability to root for the team in the city that you're in because they did something to screw you over.
Yeah,
but until they do that,
well, I mean,
that's why I'm a Packer
Eddie
fan
George
for life.
And Steve McNair didn't screw Houston over.
No.
But Adams did.
But Adams did, right.
But I'm still like, I'm not going to root for a team that doesn't exist in this city.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, and again, they pulled your favorite team out of your hometown.
Yeah.
That's enough to piss you off to where you shouldn't be a fan anymore. You don't have to be.
Yeah.
But like, I'm a Packer fan for life. That's just the way it is.
Of course.
So, you know, that's why I think when we talk about transplanted fans, that's why it's so difficult sometimes when we talk about attendance and other things, because like we said, there's so many people from different places.
Yeah,
they can't find that attachment. Like when I got here, even when the Astros sucked and before they sucked, when they all different, I just liked the way they played the game, the way they developed talent. They took a chance when they got Randy Johnson, or that J.R. Richard growing up for some reason was my favorite pitcher.
Uh-huh.
Even I was in Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
So there were I had the old rainbow jersey when I was in Wisconsin growing up.
So you've been a Milwaukee fan all your life.
Of the Milwaukee teams?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've told the story before that my
baseball,
dad always
basketball,
yeah, baseball. I was also a Red Sox fan because my dad had me watching left-handed players and left-handed pitchers and things like that, but yeah, I mean for the most it's always been Wisconsin.
Okay.
Teams.
But then you added Portland to the mix because you worked for them, obviously.
And then when I left, it went away.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Nick, you've always been a Houston sports fan?
Pretty much. The only thing that's happened to me is the fact that the media, the job of being a part of the media has kind of diminished my love for the, like, I'm not as big as a fan as I used to be.
Really? So you, yeah, it does, I think it takes the, it kind of dulls it for you.
100%.
It dulls the amount of joy you get from it. Because, like, my mom was like, oh, wouldn't you love to, let's just go to an Astros game and hang out together. And I'm like, that really doesn't do it for me like it used to. Like, I used to love to go, Nora and I went to every opening game for, like, 5, 6, 7 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Every opening day we went. And it was the most fun I'd have. And just being a baseball fan, but loving the Astros and baseball and all that. Oh, I loved it. And now I'm just like, I don't want to go to opening day because of the crowds and all that.
I got a buddy of mine who's made it a tradition with his son, which I think is cool.
That's very cool.
Like, yeah, the father-son thing is their tradition is no matter what they're doing, what's going on, if he's got ball games or whatever, opening day every year they're going. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's cool, too. I mean, the example I always use is that I always was a huge Hakeem Olajuwon fan. I think growing up as a kid, I thought he was God, basically. So I would be absolutely devastated if I went to a locker room and then Hakeem was just all dry. And I'm not going to single out James Harden. I'm just going to say players in the locker room sometimes because it becomes so redundant.
Because James Harden does it to you the most.
And he can be kind of dry. He can be kind of dry. Like, it's just, you know, people say Harden is a good guy. He's just kind of like an old introvert or socially awkward or whatever it is. But, like,
who are these people?
A lot
I need
of people.
To talk to him.
A lot of people say a lot of people describe Harden as an introvert. Big time.
Oh, introvert, I get. Yeah. Good guy? There's time.
Oh, that's what you're disagreeing about. I mean, look, I just wouldn't want my kid to meet a player like James Harden, the kid's devastated because James Harden wasn't nice.
I told you the story. I told you guys the story of Bob Uecker because he was the voice of my childhood. My dad listened to every game that Uke called for Brewer games. So when I moved here, Worrell's first thing was, I got to take you in the booth during baseball season to meet Uke. I was like, oh, dude, that'd be fantastic. I go up there, and he could not have been more of a jerk.
Wow.
And it just ruins so much for you because you're like, wow, man, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Walt said when free agency became big in the 90s, it made people follow players more than teams. Probably a pretty good
point.
Fair point. Yeah. I mean, you start to, you root for a guy for so long. And now I didn't become a Raptors fan because Olajuwon left. That just wasn't going to happen. But I could see where for some people that would be the case where you've rooted for this guy and then he leaves, but you still like that player. So you change teams or at least go root for multiple teams. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what? There's also nothing wrong with getting money back in your pocket every time you fill up your car or buy food at any of the hundreds of restaurants around the city of Houston. And it's all thanks to GetUpside. Download this app. Put it on your phone right now. It's absolutely free to use. It's absolutely free to download and install. And when you download and install it, put my promo code Barry in there, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra cash back on your first fill up through the app. And because that's the beauty of this app. Like, all you do is you fill up your tank once a week. Sometimes some of y'all drive a lot, twice a week. And well, don't leave money at the pump. GetUpside will get you cash back up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations around the city of Houston when you fill up. And the reason why GetUpside is around is because these gas stations and these restaurants, they want your business. So they're offering these cashback deals inside of the app. It's like getting free money. And they want, so they want you to spend with them. They want you to shop with them. That's why they offer you these deals. But you can only get it through the GetUpside app. That's the only place to get these deals, specifically for like Popeyes and Burger King and the Shell stations around the city that are offering cashback. And there's, like I said, hundreds of restaurants, 500 gas stations. It was featured on ABC 13. So it's not just me talking about it. It's not just the people at the station that use it or the listeners like Jose. I called him Josh earlier. I meant Jose. But it's tons of listeners using this as well. And it's legitimate. And you get cash back. And, you know, are you always going to get 25 cents and 35% cash back? Not always. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Cash is cash. And don't leave money at the pump. And don't leave money at the dinner table or at the lunch table. Because Candelaria's is in the app. If you like pizza, they've got Cyclone and Anaya's. Guys, the choices are crazy. They're everywhere. And there's no catch. You just... you use a debit or credit card and upload your receipt, and within 24 hours, you're getting cash back in your pocket. All thanks to GetUpside. Go ahead, download it right now. Put it on your phone before you leave so you can use it when you fill up. Put in my promo code Barry, see how much you get back. Get that cash later, and thank me later.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7, as I've mentioned. Cody and Holly filling in for AJ today with Fred. Special shout out to the folks that you know I've always been dear friends with and fans of. That's American Wheel and Tire. I had spent way too much time pondering tires and when to put them on. And Mike and Tammy Gus decided that I would wait no longer. They would come get my car from me and put the tires on and bring it back to me. Edgar, thank you very much for being patient and waiting for us to get in a break in the lobby. But shout out to American Wheel and Tire. Great deals, fantastic service, and they do what they do very well.
Been around for years, an institution, yeah. Basically, yeah, when it comes down to tires.
You know what? And talk about, you know, Mike and Tammy decided to make the investment of putting a brand new showroom, new building, do all this work, and then 290 started construction and just screwed them. And there was a time there where they weren't sure they were going to make it through the end of construction, but now business is picking back up. People are going back out there. They can get there easily. So if you're in the 290 area and you need wheels or tires, American Wheel and Tire is great. There you go.
Word. I was talking to Tyler out there.
Yeah.
And he said it's the 15-year anniversary of the Killdozer. Do y'all remember this?
What is that?
So apparently this dude owned some sort of shop, and they wanted to build a concrete plant across the street from him, and he didn't want it, and it was government-owned, and they did it. And long story short, he felt like the government screwed him over. They cut off the sewage to his shop and charged him for it. So the dude got a bulldozer and put, like, metal plates all the way around it, Mad Max style, and then just started driving through stuff. Like, he drove through the concrete plant that he had been protesting and not wanting there, just like tore it up. And then Tyler said he found like 12 or 13 different businesses owned by government officials in the town, drove through all of those, not like I'm talking driving through them, and then drove through something else. The cops were trying to stop him, and eventually I think he drove through City Hall. Then he killed himself.
Here?
No, Colorado.
Oh.
It's called the Killdozer. So I didn't get a chance to read it because obviously the breaks are short, but I asked him for the elevator pitch. I don't remember the Killdozer, but Wow.
I got to look that up, too.
That sounds crazy. Apparently, it's the thing. Marvin John Heemeyer, or Heemeyer, an American welder, an automobile muffler repair shop owner who went on a rampage with a modified bulldozer.
Really?
Wow. All right. Granby, Colorado. The Killdozer Rampage. Interesting. Yeah, look that up.
Okay, I'm going to have to look that up. That sounds like a genuine crazy man.
Oh, look. That was the dozer that he...
That's no, like, John Deere. Like, that's not like something that you'd use out at the ranch. That's
no.
A big-ass bulldozer.
Yeah, he did it up big. Wow. That's interesting.
Did y'all see Terrence Jones getting a little scrap?
I did see that.
I just found out in the break from Joel, so I didn't see it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, the biggest thing to be taken away from all of this is Terrence Jones had 40 points in a game somewhere.
I saw that part.
It doesn't matter where. Terrence Jones had 40 points in a game somewhere.
When you watch the video, now, he was a power forward, right, Terrence Jones?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is he, 6'8"?
6'9".
Okay. He was so much taller than everyone else on the court in whatever country he was playing in. He was so much taller. But I'm going to have to give it to the other guy. If I'm judging the fight at home, I think Terrence Jones lost that fight. He got the original D punch in. He got knocked down. The guy's kind of standing over him, and he nut taps him a little bit, but more of a punch. Dude falls down in a heap. They call timeout to help the guy up. And while the guy's on the ground holding his junk, just screaming in pain, Terrence Jones is dancing.
Yep.
Like shimmying, like, ha ha. So then play resumes, and Terrence Jones has the ball near the out-of-bounds line, and that dude just clotheslines him. Yep. I'm talking Deacon Jones style, Dick Butkus, old-school football style, clotheslines Terrence Jones. Terrence jumps up to fight him. They get separated, and old boy goes off and does his own shimmy dance. Gets ejected, though.
Yep.
But it was wild, man. That was... They need a little more of that. I'm sorry to say. There needs to be a little more of that style.
The guy who did all the stuff to Terrence Jones, their team's down 20-some. But he gets up on the scorer's
table.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. Did his own shimmy.
Yeah, and then even after that, it was like TJ, who's not the sharpest tool in the shed, was still trying to get to him. And it was like, bro, you won by 20. The fight didn't go your way. Just celebrate the victory and move on.
Right.
But then they were saying that, I think it's in Panama, wherever it was, the game was. Yeah, it's somewhere overseas. But they were saying, like, this isn't the first time these things have happened. So they leave a video at the bottom of the article. There was a game in which a guy wore a full Spider-Man outfit, ran on the court, ran into several players, including one guy that said he was hurt. Then the security guys were trying to stop him. He ran through the tunnel. Then security realized that this dude was like, should be arrested. So then they were like trying to track him down so they could arrest him. And all of a sudden, the security guy walks out of the tunnel and he's got the Spider-Man costume, but no dude. And they can't find the dude anywhere. And I'm like, well, that ain't America where they would have had a tackling.
That is outstanding.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
It was in the Philippines where it took place. I saw a picture online and I didn't really bother to look at the story, but it was a female streaker.
Okay.
That someone stopped. And my thing is, why are we stopping female streakers? I get if we stop a dude. No one wants to see that. No one. Tracy, don't tweet me. Don't at me. Tracy and Pink Valkyrie and a few others. Don't. But why are we stopping females from streaking? I feel like that's just good, clean fun. Like, why? They made her, like, what? No. Just let her, she'll run herself out. She'll quit. She'll go away. She probably doesn't have that much endurance. Like, why are we stopping that? I don't understand that. That didn't make any sense to me.
Not that that sounded like sexist. But
what? Why did that sound sexist?
Were you saying don't stop her because it's a chick? Or?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. Well,
would you rather look at the female body or a man's body?
I'm not saying I'd rather look at either one of them because no matter who's doing it, they shouldn't be doing it. Based on have you ever seen a streaker that's like the Greek Freak or the Manimal? Or have you ever seen a stripper that's Pam Anderson or something like that? No, the closest thing was, remember Morgana?
No, who's Morgana?
You don't remember Morgana?
No.
Morgana was the very, very chesty, busty blonde lady that used to run out on the field and give kisses
hug baseball players.
To baseball players.
Okay, why are we stopping that? If she's running around with her top off, I'm pro streaking at that point.
Okay.
Just not dudes.
Well, see, that's where I don't think you can draw the line.
Why?
Because
absolutely,
society
we can.
Says equal rights. So if you're you can't just say you pinpoint you just want dudes to not do it.
Listen, don't start getting on your equal rights high horse now.
There's time. There's 30 seconds.
No way.
No, I'm good. All right. Hopefully you guys are too. Watch the weather. If it's if the weather's good, we'll be at Wildcat Golf Club broadcasting 7A to 7P tomorrow for the golf tournament. Otherwise, we'll be back in the studio. But either way, stay tuned for the Blitz coming up next. It's Fred with special guest host Cody Stutes and Holly right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.